But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the hilarious disaster of an interview on the website formerly known as Twitter. Move on to a tale of two very different economic agendas. And follow all of that up with an update on our ongoing docuseries, How Project 2025 Plans to Christian Nationalism All Over American Families. Let's begin, shall we? The Thomas Edison of the modern age has to be the Nepo baby raised on apartheid, otherwise known as Ilania Muscatina. Muskie, as I've started calling him, has spent his way into becoming an influencer in the tech industry with such infamous purchases as Tesla cars, the aptly named Boring Company, and the once wildly successful social media app known as Twitter. All for the I own it brag rights, but the flex just doesn't feel the same after the 53-year-old Muskie Odor hosted a live stream discussion with the oldest boomer to ever run for the presidency of the United States, proving once and for all, just because you bought it doesn't mean you know how to use it.
Donald Trump was up late last night on the phone with one of his biggest supporters.
Donald Trump returned to Twitter last night. It's now called X. For a long conversation with Elon Musk that was hampered by technical issues.
Musk blaming a so-called denial of service attack, a kind of cyber attack that floods a server with traffic to force it offline, saying the massive attack illustrates there's a lot of opposition to people just hearing what President Trump has to say. Though we provided no evidence of such a cyber attack.
That conversation was delayed by more than 40 minutes because of those tech issues.
The Harris campaign sent out a fundraising email during this talk with the subject line, "The two worst people you know are live this evening." And they called Musk a lackey for Team MAGA, self-obsessed rich guys who will sell out the middle class and who cannot run a live stream in the year 2024.
You know, whoever is running the Harris Walls campaign press response team is not only quick with a quip, but should be named a national hero for that clapback. Because let's face it, it's becoming quite clear boomers and older Gen Xers share a lot of challenges when it comes to technology, which is completely understandable considering their advanced age. But for pity's sake, no one is going to fault a cruster who buys his way into everything for admitting they probably shouldn't have fired most of their staff, because how in the fuck are they going to live stream now? But, okay, boomer, it was a DDoS attack. A DDoS attack that happened to only affect your live stream and not the gaggle of other live streams on the platform that experienced abso-fucking-lutely zero technical difficulties. And all of this just to prevent the toothless option for commander-in-chief and the only candidate for president who stopped his own rally for 21 seconds to zone out in what can only be described as taking a dump in his pants while on stage from slurring whatever shit comes out of his mind. Because that's what Grandpa sounds like when he forgets to put his teeth in.
I need an Elon Musk. I need somebody that has a lot of strength and courage and smarts. I want to close up Department of Education, move education back to the states, where states like Iowa, where states like Idaho, you know, not every state will do great. We cannot have a Democrat. We cannot have her. She's incompetent. She's as bad as Biden. I beat Biden. He failed in the debate miserably. She is considered more liberal by far than Bernie Sanders. And I say, if you're a Jewish person or if you believe in Israel, if you vote for her, it's worse than Biden. And Biden was bad. But if you vote for her, you ought to have your head examined. While this third-rate phony candidate, she is terrible. She's terrible. But she's getting a free ride. She hasn't done an interview since this whole scam started. On Time magazine today, she looks like the most beautiful actress ever to live. She looked very much like our great first lady, Melania. She looks, of course, she's a beautiful woman, so we'll leave it at that, right?
So, Tell me you hate strong women because they would never fuck you without telling me you hate strong women because they would never fuck you. Because the way Denture Don swooned talking about how Kamala Harris looks, how pretty she is, when he was just trash-talking her, is quite telling. And I'm going to get into all the stupid that came out of Genghis Khan's toothless quarter-pounder hole. But first, there is that romantic moment when Alania Muscatina and Gummer Don bonded over illegally firing striking workers.
You're the greatest cutter. I mean, I look at what you do. You walk in and you just say, you want to quit? They go on strike. I won't mention the name of the company, but they go on strike and you say, that's okay, you're all gone.
Oh, that's so funny. Firing employees because they want better working conditions, fair wages, and the dignity that they deserve for being the reason the company's customers have any products to purchase at all. You know, that makes them a more valuable asset to the company than the douchebags we just heard giggling about firing them. But if you thought two corporate chuckleheads having a laugh was the punchline, you're in for a pleasant surprise.
The United Auto Workers Union says it filed charges Tuesday against former President Donald Trump and billionaire Elon Musk
over their comments about striking workers. The two men had a live conversation on X last night. Trump told Musk he liked how the billionaire handled labor disputes by firing workers who strike.
Federal law protects workers who go on strike from being fired. It's illegal to threaten to do so. Union's president said in a statement,
employers need to be held accountable in this country when they break the law. It is a federal right of workers to go on strike, and they cannot be fired for that. But, you know, people like Donald Trump and Elon Musk, they laugh about firing people because they can care less about people and about their jobs and what they do to their careers. All they care about is the billionaire buddies and taking more wealth.
Now that is how you end a joke. Muscatina and Fixident Don are going to court for admitting to breaking the law. And I just gotta say, because I said it before, and it bears repeating. Whoever it was on Trump's no denture adventure excuse for a presidential campaign who thought this interview was a good idea is a real man or woman of genius. And I salute you. Meanwhile, at the adults' table.
Tonight, Vice President Harris is rolling out her economic agenda, acknowledging most Americans are dissatisfied with the cost of living.
The Democratic presidential nominee unveiled her opportunity economy plan.
As part of her plan, she's calling for the construction of 3 million new homes, proposing a tax break for builders, and a $40 billion fund to help local governments address lack of housing. She's also proposed giving up to $25,000 in down payment assistance for first-time homebuyers.
Federal ban on price gouging for food.
Harris vowed to impose a ban on what she called grocery price gouging. The average cost of a pound of ground beef has risen 44% since 2019.
And help for new parents in the form of tax credits and support for childcare. There's also a push for cheaper drugs.
That's right, kiddies. This is what we've all been waiting for. Kamala and Tim want to make America affordable again, and it's about damn time, at least according to my checking account. Because while inflation is down to 3% in this expensive-as-shit country of ours, corporations have not passed the savings along to their customers. Since the rise of prices during the COVID pandemic, grocery stores have been using the old it's the supply chain excuse to continue to raise the price of everything into what the fuck levels. And don't even get me started on Barbara's 1987 split level that hasn't been updated ever, but is selling for $750,000 because of greedy private equity firms, Wall Street investors, and everyday land douches who rent out their homes at whatever price they want because there is no cap on the price of rents. And all this blatant financial murdering of the middle class by rich fuckers has to stop. And it sounds like Kamala and Tim understand the assignment. Now, over on the weird side, I can't say the moronic duo get where the average American is coming from, based on whatever this was that is kindly being referenced as a economic plan. Roll tape.
Now, this is a little bit different day because this isn't around. This is, we're talking about a thing called the economy. They wanted to do a speech on the economy. A lot of people are very devastated by what's happened with inflation and all of the other things. So we're doing this as a intellectual speech. You're all intellectuals today. Today we're doing it, and we're doing it right now. Crooked Joe, he didn't do interviews either. Remember, Joe, what kind of ice cream is your favorite? Vanilla. Oh, I like vanilla. And he's getting out. He's getting out. In fact, they're not even giving him a good spot to speak. You know, when he's speaking on Monday, Monday's not the, that's the worst day. And now they're putting her on the covers of Time magazine with an artist sketch. They don't use a picture. They use an artist sketch. I want to use that artist. I want to find that artist. I like him very much. That's the laugh of a crazy person, I will tell you, if you haven't known. It's a crazy. She's crazy. That's the laugh of a person with some big problems. Many people say that the only reason the stock market is up is because people think I am going to win. It's no wonder they're both socialists. They're actually beyond socialists. I think they skipped over socialists. We're going to go to a net zero policy. What does that mean? I have no idea. Ventilators and all of the different things that we did, the outfits. If people want to take advantage of our country, they have to pay to take advantage.
Oh, really? Seriously, I want to know who actually thought giving old Donald a microphone and a topic would magically result in a coherent discussion on the maggot plan for America's economy. Really? Who are you? Orange Geezer can't be restrained just to one topic when there are so many curmudgeon complaints rattling around in that huge melon. It's just a shame, you know? Stupid Donnegrip, he couldn't take the advice that literally anyone on the Reich side was giving him before he did that.
You've got to make this race not on personalities. Stop questioning the size of her crowds and start questioning her position.
The winning formula for President Trump is very plain to see. It's fewer insults, more insights, and that policy contrast.
Donald Trump just needs to focus on the issues.
Hit her with her policies first.
Don't call her stupid and all kinds of names. Stay on message.
I want this campaign to win. But the campaign is not going to win talking about crowd sizes. It's not going to win talking about what race Kamala Harris is. It's not going to win talking about whether she's dumb. It's not, you can't win on those things. The American people are smart. Treat them like they're smart.
Well, Namatra, you should have thought of that before you let the trash panda out of the dumpster. Because now you've got complaining on aisle three every single time you put him in front of a crowd of people. And you've got just 2 months until America makes history by electing not only the first woman to serve as president, but the first Black and South Asian woman, because Kamala is every woman. So if Republicans are going to have that chance that they want so bad to win this thing without cheating, they might as well send Grandpa Tangerine to his Florida retirement home while the generic guy with a beard, pick for Vice Führer, takes over speaking to the public. Not that this is going to make things any better, though.
And while they weakened the dollar, Biden-Harris crackdown on American energy. That is a recipe for the terrible affordability crisis that we have on this country. You combine that with the regulatory agenda, you combine the energy problems, you combine the trillions of dollars in reckless spending, and you have got inflation into the stratosphere. Now, instead of buying energy from every dictator around the globe, which is what Kamala Harris wants to do, under President Trump, we're going to embrace a very simple principle. We're going to get American energy from American workers in American territory. We're going to drill, baby, drill. That's going to cut down prices. And that's going to create a lot of prosperity for the American people.
What in the hillbilly, sectional, backwoods, lazy boy bullshit is Mr. Loveseat yelling about now? Inflation is down 3% in America, but that's thanks to Vintage Joe. And actually, that has zero to do with the price of anything in this country. But while we're on the subject of oil prices, The reckless recliner forgot to mention that just last month, the Senate began an investigation into 14 oil barons like Exxon, Chevron, and ConocoPhillips because they all decided it would be awesome to make a deal with OPEC to manufacture petroleum scarcity by not releasing barrels to justify price gouging. And we've all been paying higher prices while the oil companies and OPEC have been touting record profits. But please, tell me again how Drill Baby Drill is going to make my rent, groceries, and everything else I buy just to stay alive more affordable. Because I don't think it will. But then again, fixing the financial problems of the average American isn't the point of Loose Dencher Dawn and Teddy Fuxpin's presidential bid. They're in it to win it for just two reasons. Number one, Assolioni is a 34 times convicted felon who is looking at prison if he doesn't get his lard ass back to the White House. And second of all, the Taint twins are the only ones who would implement Project 2025 if they were elected. Which brings me to the homosexual veep's obsession with what constitutes the American family.
We've had a 50-year culture war over abortion, where unfortunately this issue has just divided the country, and he wants to provide some ground for us to come together, for states to make these decisions. I'm not passing judgment on what these laws should be. I'm pro-family. I want us to have more families. The point is that our country has become anti-family in its public policy. I criticize people for being anti-child. Project 2025 is not affiliated with the Trump campaign. Kevin Roberts is a friend of mine, but I wouldn't say that he speaks for the president in the same way I wouldn't say that he speaks for me.
Oh, really? Kevin Roberts of the Heritage Foundation. The man who praised your VP nomination because you're the one he specifically wanted riding shotgun on this crazy train of a presidential campaign has nothing to do with you. The same Kevin Roberts, you wrote a foreword for his new book coming out after the election, of course, because it talks about the benefits of Christian nationalism. But again, he has nothing to do with you. Yeah. I totally believe you, especially when there is a perfectly manipulative reason why the Cushion Whisperer and the Tangerine Palpatine continuously deny their involvement with Project 2025. And here is the aptly named Kevin Roberts of the Heritage Foundation to explain.
We've been working with all of them on one project since soon after Joe Biden took the oath of office, before any conservative presidential candidates had even entered the race. Our Project 2025 has developed a comprehensive policy agenda, but even more importantly, recruiting people, 20,000 people to go into the next administration, hopefully to help take back this country. We want no credit. President Trump and his administration to take credit for that.
So when you see President Trump say this and what you envision as being behind it tactically.
Well, I think it's the sign of a great leader who understands he's in a terrific political news cycle. The left's mischaracterization of Project 2025 had become a liability. I think we've seen that really turn around in the last few days since that statement. So no hard feelings from any of us at Project 2025 about the statement, because we understand Trump is the standard bearer and he's making a political tactical decision there.
Oh, no. Kevin just ratted out Magalardo and the Vancing Queen. So much for loyalty, am I right? And just so that we're clear about who is behind Project 2025, here is a few of the 29 out of 38 of the former Trump officials that have been working hard to bring Project 2025 to life.
It is called Project 2025. This was created for Trump by people associated with Trump. His running mate, J.D. Vance, is also pals with the Project 2025 guy. He just wrote a foreword for his new book. Six of Trump's cabinet officials collaborated on the drafting of the Project 2025 playbook. Another 140 Trump administration staffers had a hand in working on it in some capacity. Of the 36 different people who appear in these videos that are obtained by ProPublica, 29 of the 36 of them are people who directly worked for the Trump administration or the Trump campaign.
Hello, my name is Jeff Small. I was a presidential appointee in the Trump administration.
My name is Caroline Levitt, and I am a former political appointee in the Donald J. Trump administration.
I served in the Trump administration.
Pam, you started on day one of the Trump administration, and you stayed until the final hour.
Yeah, shocking that I made it.
No, Pam, that is not what's shocking. What's shocking is that you admitted to being part of the animation of Project 2025 while on camera, without a voice modulator or your face covered. See, these schmucks don't care about public denials of their years-long plans to wipe Republican Jesus all over our great nation. Whatever it takes to get the United States to become a theocratic hellscape run by incels and former Epstein clients, they're going to do it. Oh, and speaking of Jeffrey Epstein, did you know Mind and Confident has been flying Epstein's plane to campaign rallies and wherever else guys who like him young go? I guess having Chester the couch molester, who sometimes likes to put on a blonde wig and call himself Ashley Furniture for a sidekick, isn't enough for the aging fraudster father, whose name appears way too many times on flight records to Epstein's pedophile paradise island. He's got to slap his name on Epstein's plane like it's some other budget rental from Avis. But you know what? I digress. Let's get back to Project 2025, specifically what the fuck they mean by restoring America's nuclear family.
A Christian nationalist vision of the family is a key centerpiece of the 922-page manual describing proposals for the American family. Page 451, it defines the right kind of family as being comprised of a married mother, father, and their children. The document calls for the government to, quote, protect faith-based grant recipients that maintain a biblically-based social science-reinforced definition of marriage and family. It states children raised in homes, aside from a heterosexual intact marriage, are clear. All other family forms involve higher levels of instability, financial stress or poverty, or poorer behavioral, psychological, or educational outcomes. Actively promote, quote, the importance of marriage, which describes homes without a husband as being amongst the most dangerous places for a child to be. Project 2025 proposes economic incentives for traditional nuclear families. Use government power, including through the tax code, to restore the American family. Same-sex couples or other family structures would be denied equal benefits that are given to straight heterosexual couples.
Y'all heard that, right? The Project 2025 maggots want to designate a heterosexual man and woman, along with their naturally conceived, meaning without IVF, children, to be the only acceptable family in America. According to them, single mothers, step-parents, and same-sex couples are just turning out unstable, broke-ass bitches who can't get their mind right. Never mind that 15% of women are injured by their spouse, and nearly 30 women a day try to commit suicide because they just can't get away from it. But when you break it all down by states, Oklahoma is where Karen gets yeeted down the plane because over 45% of married women get the shit beat out of them by their partners. Oh, and for those of you in the back, the DOJ recognizes that 95% of domestic violence is perpetrated by a married man. So what about when the woman is past her prime, as the impotent ragers like to call it?
And you can sort of see the effect it has on him to be around them. But it makes him a much better human being to have exposure to his grandparents.
Well, I don't know. That's the whole purpose of the postmenopausal female. Yes. In theory, when your child was born, and particularly your mother-in-law, show up in some huge way.
She lived with us for a year.
Right.
So, you know.
So I didn't know the answer to that.
Right. No.
Because that's this weird unadvertised feature of marrying an Indian woman.
No, it's in some ways the most transgressive thing I've ever done against sort of the hyper neoliberal approach to work and family.
Okay. So what I'm hearing from the couch potato is that a woman's ambition, her only purpose in life, should be to have and raise children, even when she is beyond her childbearing years and in the rotten cornfield that is not so Slim Shady's mind, a woman cannot possibly have any other purpose than to push out a child and spend the rest of her life taking care of them. A woman having a career or goals that she might want to achieve outside of domestic life is not only ludicrous to this Ohio shillbilly, but he's chomping at the ottoman to get the chance to punish women who aren't full-time baby makers and anyone else that doesn't fit Republican Jesus's definition of a traditional family.
Promoting this biblical concept of family is cited as a top five goal for a revamped Department of Health and Human Services. Diversity poses a danger to that very moral foundations of our society. Promoting diversity should be repealed and replaced with policies that support the formation of, quote, stable married nuclear families. They consider this but a core function of governance itself, urging the next Health and Human Services Secretary to put an end to, quote, woke transgender activism. It wants the government to protect the right of businesses to discriminate against same-sex couples. Federal grants should be made to faith-based groups that refuse to recognize same-sex marriage. Classifies gender reassignment surgery as a form of child abuse. Criminalize transgender identity as pornography. Broadly oppose drag queen reading hours and to keep LGBTQ plus books out of libraries. People who produce and distribute it should be imprisoned. Educators and public librarians should be classed as registered sex offenders. Telecommunications and technology firms that facilitate its spread should be shuttered.
That's going to be a no for me, dog. And not for nothing, but getting rid of the LGBTQ community isn't going to make all of that non-heterosexual sex go away, since Project 2025 isn't even addressing the actual problem. For fact's sake, over 5,000 Catholic priests in the United States have been molesting the children of their parishioners going all the way back to 1955, because that's how far back the data goes. Oh, and don't forget, 63% of Catholic priests are white guys. So, apparently, they've got competition, because in American Protestant churches, more than 45% of pastors and over 33% of youth pastors are no-no touching children. And with nearly 48% of those evangelical leaders being white men, I think I'm starting to see a pattern here. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. And don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. And you can follow This Week Again on social media, wherever you can find us. We're always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-da for now.